The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Tony Gott, Executive Chairman, and Vic Kiss, Chief Executive Officer of Saeta SED is the ticker there. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and you've announced some exciting deal of late. We'll talk about that in a bit, and hopefully you raise a nice chunk of change as well to go along with that, and you've had your final results out. Before we get into all that, and we'll also talk about Tony, because it's nice to have you on the podcast, Tony. Haven't spoken to you before. Before we get into all that, if you could, for people learning about Saeta, or not quite there yet, but are very interested in this deal you've done, could you explain a basic overview what Saeta is all about, please?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Vika has worked with the company much longer than I. I think it's 7 years, Vic, since you were swept into the company.
Yeah, close to, yeah.
Yeah. I joined the company early last year as it was approaching its IPO and launch onto AIM. And since then, I've been acting as the non-exec chairman up until a week ago. We'll talk about that change in a minute. But the company, under Vic's guidance, has concentrated on developing a set of intellectual property, which is about redesigning the electric motor for certain uses in certain sectors globally. And it's an extremely compelling technical solution. And the journey from that point to now has added more and more opportunity to the business, especially over the last 12 months. So now we have pretty much a fully fledged electric drive solutions company offering extremely high quality tech to all sectors, ranging from little scooters, lightweight duty, all the way up to heavy trucks. So we're in a great place, and as you mentioned earlier, we continue to grow the business and have recently sought some funding to help us to do that. That's a brief overview.
Yeah, and if you could just delve into, you know, your technology, the axial flux technology, for people not familiar with that, how does that differ from, you know, the traditional EVs we have out there at the moment?
Yeah, over to you, Vic.
Pleasure. No, it's in 2017, we already realized that we indeed reinvented the axial flux motor. We didn't have any patents, so we had to be really quiet about it for the first 3 years. And then, as you know, in 2021, all of that changed. The axial flux motor is not new. It's been used in Formula E for many years because it's more efficient. So you can get either more power, or in our case, more range out of the same battery. So that's why we invested heavily through all of the EIS support from various investors in the UK. We're very diligent. We've had the motor under test for the last 5 years, and we're very satisfied. I think what we are particularly good at is not only optimizing the design for cost and mass manufacturing, but also have the willpower to focus on the markets that matter. So we could make this actual flux motor, we could make it suitable for, I don't know, wind turbines, we could approach Tesla, like, how could we develop your new motor? And we decided not to do that because we recognize that the electrification of everything is a phenomenon, it's a revolution that is happening east to west. So when you realize the Asian market outside of China, and our focus therefore is India and the rest of Asia, is little motorbikes, but also tuk-tuks and the very fast up-and-coming last-mile delivery market segment. And that's what we developed our motor and now powertrain for. And we focused on low voltage, low cost, extremely high efficiency, and making it locally around the world. So that's the light duty division. In parallel, we tracked a very successful company in the leisure marine market. It's called Torquedo. They started in 2017 and they're already doing 100 million turnover. And we looked at their marine solutions and we were like, with our actual flux motor, we can actually do that better. So we launched, under the umbrella of the Saeta Group, we launched Propel with its own managing director in Amsterdam last November, already creating turnover within 4 months. We've got dealers appointed in the Benelux, and we're now in the process of selling Europe. And we won a Red Dot Design Award. So that's Light Duty, which is Saeta.com, Marine, which is Propel, and the website is propel.me. We're getting close to being sold out on that division. And then through the acquisition of eTraction last year in November, also from Evergrande, we now have the full truck and bus solution capability with our own power electronics and software. That's hugely valuable, and that was the pinnacle for getting this ComMet contract agreed over the last, and we've been working on it for 5 months solid, and we announced it last week.
Yeah, very exciting. So three divisions, like you said there, and so building out a fully-fledged company, light duty, heavy duty, and marine. We'll talk about the ComMet deal, of course, because that's a biggie. Before we go into that, Tony's here. First time he's been on the podcast. Nice to have you on, Tony. Can you explain your background, please, and how you came to end up here with Saeta?
Yeah, certainly. I'm an engineer, automotive engineer, for most of my career, up until probably about 8 years ago. Development, design, engineering, and worked my way up in the Rolls-Royce and Bentley company to be chief engineer of the company and then chief executive and chairman of first Bentley and then under Volkswagen Group. I reported to their board. And then moved to open the new Rolls-Royce factory, car, workforce and dealer distribution for the new Rolls-Royce company in West Sussex, reporting to the BMW board. After a number of years doing that and establishing the brand and the cars, I then moved to a company called Jacobs Engineering. Huge American infrastructure business, doing things like airports, nuclear power stations, huge projects. And I became a vice president of Jacobs. And my last project was cost and commercial control of the building works at the Palace of Westminster, House of Parliament, to everyone. Where I oversaw those factors for the first 2.5 years of the program. I knew Vic 15 years ago. He worked for Cosworth Technology, a supplier to Bentley, working on one of the critical projects there. And we kept in touch over all that time. And I retired last year in November, and Vic called me up straight away and said, look, we're heading towards an IPO. Really appreciate if you could help. And so I had no hesitation in joining my old colleague and friend Vic to help launch the company onto the AIM market. And then we've had a fantastic year, a brilliant management team, great culture within the business. We've made tremendous strides forward. And as you know, last week I stepped up as an executive director, purely because of the amount of workload now that's in front of the business and the opportunities that Vic is bringing into the business. I'm able to provide a lot of experience in the engine room of the business in terms of structures and processes and controls, etc. So we work very, very closely together, us two, and it's great to be part of the Saeta Group.
Yeah, and it looks like the work is not going to stop because it's going to get busier, I think, because you've just raised gross proceeds of 23 million at very little discount, less than 5%, which is impressive in any market, let alone the market we're in right now. And you announced, in conjunction with this, you've entered into a joint commercialization and development agreement with Consolidated Metco. So could you tell us about a little bit of the background on Consolidated Metco, the deal, and why it makes sense for you both, please?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start, Vic. I'll by all means chip in. When we acquired eTraction, then, as Vic's rightly pointed out, the jewel in the company was the power electronics software and hardware capability there. But we also inherited an excellent track record of hub motor technology that is live and well and on buses within Europe, having covered, I think it's 2.6 million kilometer miles, and is a very good piece of engineering. However, as Vic points out to people, the motor is it's a bit heavy, it's a bit expensive compared to the direction of travel in the market. So we, and Vic led this, really, we wanted the team to develop its thinking a bit further. And they came up with a new, quite radical solution. And then we needed to go and find a partner for that so we can get a route to market and route to high volume manufacture. And it's a hub motor type. And therefore, we looked for the biggest name in the world for hub manufacture, and that's Conmet. And so we started that work of opening technical discussions and then into quite a lot of detailed contractual discussions with them, which, as you say, culminated last week in the signing by both parties of joint commercial development agreement with them, which is now very exciting for us because we have complementary technologies, the two businesses. We both have the objective of helping to electrify the heavy-duty sector, and we're going to work together very hard over the coming years to realize some products which we hope will be extremely important in that transition.
Yeah. And is this just in the US or it's in Europe as well? Where is this happening?
Well, US certainly. Conmet are very, very strong in that market. But they also have a presence in Europe. And both of the companies would like to see us developing that market if and when we can together. So certainly it's a global opportunity. But we have a strong, if you like, entry to a very large market in the US.
Yeah, absolutely. Vic, do you want to say anything about the deal?
Yeah, it's very exciting. I mean, it's biggest contract ever, and I must thank the London Stock Exchange. I live in this network, and Tony is also fascinated with the consolidation that is happening in the industry. So Yasser was taken over by Mercedes. There was Ashwood's in the past. There was Avid taken over by a big venture capitalist company from the US. But we're all friends in the network. We all know each other, and they're actually really envious of us doing an IPO because it almost guarantees our independence. We can raise adequate funds to finance new contracts that we could bring into the business until we make enough money that we can finance that in within the company. And that IPO, becoming a PLC, has given us the credibility also to Evergrande to be granted the right to acquire eTraction because they spend a lot of money on this company. They were in trouble and we could rescue this team, but also the acquisition of the plant in Sunderland. And when Conmet looked at eTraction in the past, had they already knew eTraction from before we acquired it, they soon realized that the Saeta proposition is so much better because we can create that full eDrive solution. We have the power electronics, but we now also have the manufacturing capability in Sunderland. And one of the products that we are thinking about together could actually be a product that they already have a lot of experience with from Sunderland. Mm-hmm. and look at Sunderland as the pilot factory. So we'll set up the process there, set up the supply chain for the relevant country, and then based on customer demands, because we pretty much already know who we want to work with in the truck market, and we can then set up a copy of that line anywhere around the world. And that's exactly what we promised to the market at the IPO. For Combat, for them to develop the electric motor capability, but also the inverter capability in-house, could easily cost them 5 to 7 years. Whereas for us to create that credibility in the truck market, which is not something we focused on for the last 5 years, it was all light duty and marine, that also fast-tracks our route to market with probably 5 to 7 years as well, which is why this is the perfect marriage.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people excited about the company, and for good reason. Just looking at the broker note here, you've just had your final results out, and revenue just under 4 million. That's guided to go to up to 21.4 million for 2023, and 2024, 61.2. So impressive growth there expected coming down the line. So very impressive. Now, if you could, Vic, as always, if someone's listening to this right now and not yet following the story, but are liking what you're doing, the progress you're making, could you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add Saeta to their watch list, please?
Yeah, pleasure. It's well, first of all, we focus on the markets that matter. Like in India, they register 20 million little motorbikes per year. With our Padmini partner, we have a route to market. Now, thanks to the IPO, we have a route to market within trucks and heavy duty. And with Marine, we can join Torqeedo on their mission to make these 5 million outboard motors electric in Europe alone. So on those three pillars, we can charge the right price, we can make good margins, we're on track with all the prognoses that have been published in the past, and basically go to saeta.com. From there, you can also find Propel. We have a good investor tab where you can see all the RNS releases, and follow us on LinkedIn and YouTube. But once again, we don't like shouting about things before the contracts are in, like we've done just now with Combat.
Excellent stuff. Tony, Vic, good to chat to you as always. And I say you're going to be very busy, so hopefully we'll catch up in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.